You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Women have played a prominent role in the development of American cuisine. Julia Child, MFK Fisher, Marion Cunningham, Alice Waters, Martha Stewart. And yet, according to a report by the National Restaurant Association, women account for just 1 in 5 of chefs and head cooks in professional kitchens today. Even the ones who do make it to the top often have difficulty gaining much recognition. Only 15 of the 93 James Beard Award winners have been women. Why is that? Well, here to help us find an answer are Joyce Goldstein, a former chef who's now a consultant to the restaurant industries and also a member of the James Beard Foundation Awards Committee. Laura Shapiro, a food journalist who has written for Gourmet and New York Magazine and is the author of the book Perfection Salad, Women and Cooking at the Turn of the Century. And Anita Lowe, the executive chef of the popular New York restaurant Anissa. Welcome to our show. Laura, on his book tour, Frank Bruni said just last night that there's a serious problem with the paucity of female chefs in this country. So women aren't the only ones who are noticing this.
No, it's a word is out. People are really starting to see that the enormous gains that women have been making steadily ever since the women's movement dawned in the 70s. One barrier after another fell, corporations, medical school, law school, armed forces, politics, not the professional kitchen. Men guarded that space ferociously.
Is that everywhere? Would we see the same thing happening in France or Italy or Spain or Mexico? Mexico, I know most of the most famous people in food are women.
I think the big issue is the traditional French model of the professional kitchen. That's the thing that has really stood in the way.
What about Asian food, Anita? Most of the chefs I know in Asian restaurants are men, aren't they?
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to – you had to come up with your own version of cuisine to get past that? Could you have just taken over the kitchen of a regular Chinese restaurant?
Well, I never really did Chinese cuisine. I never did Asian cuisine. I mean, I did – a version of Asian cuisine.
Well, you use French techniques.
Yeah, I was French trained. I was really a French chef at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you, Joyce? You had restaurants here and in San Francisco. Was it a hard road to hoe?
Not in San Francisco. Basically, not in California. I think we have a much more independent culture here. Women were able to open restaurants, get funding. The big difference, I think, is that women are less competitive in the way that men are. There's less ego. There's less macho behavior. Women are more self-contained. They do their thing. They're a little more autonomous. And they want to run their own show. I mean, a woman line cook at $30,000 a year can't survive in the city, can't raise a family. A lot of the young Latina line cooks that we have here work two jobs, or they live communally in one apartment, a bunch of line cooks together. Women are less willing to do that.
Anthony Bourdain wrote in Kitchen Confidential, now admittedly that was 10 years ago, that New York City restaurant kitchens are testosterone-filled locker rooms. He wrote, "Does a locker room environment like this make it tougher for women, for instance? Yep, most women, sadly. But what the system seeks, what it requires, is someone, anyone, who can hold up his station, play the game without getting bent out of shape and taking things personally." Anita, you think that's true?
I think that's absolutely true. But I think, a lot of women have been raised to focus on lifestyle and, their happiness. And I think men are more career-driven. And so faced with that sort of environment, a lot of people end up dropping out.
Are most of the people in your kitchen women?
Actually, it's 50-50 right now.
Well, that kind of reflects what we're seeing in the cooking schools. Enrollment at the French Culinary Institute is almost evenly divided, 55% male, 45% female, much like lawyers and law schools. It seems that equal enrollment hasn't necessarily translated into equal employment. Joyce, why do you think that is?
Because women tend to be a little more independent and a little less join the pack. There are a lot of women in cooking schools. They're coming out. They're sommeliers, where they work the floor and control their hours. They open their own shop, whether it's preserves or a bakery. They become food writers. They become teachers. They become managers of large culinary complexes. They just don't feel that the kitchen is a hospitable place. I want to actually read you a quote, a discussion between Dana Cowan, David Chang, and Tom Colicchio. And David said, you have to be young, unmarried, and with no children. That's when you're in your prime. And Dana says, no. There are different kinds of creativity. And Tom, who wasn't there, she asked him, well, what do you think is in your prime? And he says, yeah, you got to be young, unmarried, and you don't have children. Well, guess who the caretakers of the children are? Women.
Well, there's another factor here. At the Culinary Institute of America, the CIA, 86% of those enrolled in the BA program in pastry are women. Isn't pastry often seen as the one place in the kitchen in which women are equally, if not overrepresented, Laura?
Pastry has always been kind of a home for women where the rest of the professional kitchen wouldn't let them in the door. So women have found a refuge there. And there may be some kind of gender biological thing to do with sort of sugar and dough and sprinkles and whatnot. I don't know. But I think you make
your own pastry, Anita, don't you? Or
I do.
Your own desserts?
I do, but I don't think it's, you know, something to do with my gender, yeah.
I just think it's been a place where women could move ahead and succeed, and that, you know, the women who were good at it were really good at it. But I think that apart from that, you can't make big gender divides here, especially in this day and age. Plenty of women are growing up and emerging as very competitive, very tough. They really want to get ahead no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, ballet or playing the cello or cooking in a restaurant or writing books. They're going to get out there and compete because that's what they want to do, and, you know, and that is showing up.
Well, Joyce, you're on the Jane Spirit Foundation Awards Committee. Over the past decade, 7 of the past 9 Beard Award winners for pastry have been women, and the 10th was a husband and wife team. So there is something going on here, isn't there? Maybe when awards are being handed out, people are more likely to say, well, let's give this one to one of the women?
No, it doesn't work that way at all. People get nominated by past winners and by press, and it's not. No one has an awareness of gender. What it is that pastry is an autonomous department. You can work from 7 to 3 and be home when your kids get home from school. There's a very practical thing to it.
And isn't pay better at the pastry station?
No, you're not. Actually, pastry chefs get less than chefs in general, and male chefs earn 20% more than women chefs in restaurants. There is still that discrepancy. But when the Beard Awards come up, these are nominations from restaurateurs and past winners who recognize people of quality. Some years there were more women than others, not just in pastry, in other kitchens. I noticed this year when we were doing some of our events that all over the country, in small towns, there were many more women restaurateurs. I was really impressed to see that. And I'm doing a history of California cuisine now, and I've been interviewing chefs. And I just did a count before you called me, and I see that I interviewed 32 male chefs and 32 women chefs. I mean, I hadn't planned it that way. But that 50-50 thing, I think, works. It's just that men get more press than women, whether they have more outrageous behavior, they're more outspoken. I don't know why that is, but they're out there. They just don't get the coverage.
Well, I just coincidentally, I was at an event out in Sagaponack this weekend, a James Beard event, and a lot of chefs were there. And Anita, you were represented. I think you were the only woman chef there. Maybe there was another one I didn't know.
Well, there were some pastry chefs.
So, did you notice that disparity?
You know, I'm so used to it at this point. You know, I was actually surprised when you said there was 1 in 5 of head chefs that are women.
Well, we didn't say that they were all the top restaurants in America,
right,
either.
Yeah. Yeah, I think actually I believe that there is a problem with women going into fine dining as well. I think there are a lot of women that are doing more homey or more bistro food and not doing that fine dining sort of more fancy food.
My guests are Anita Lowe, chef, Laura Shapiro, the food journalist, And Joyce Goldstein, former chef, now a consultant to the restaurant industries. We're talking about why there are so few women represented in the best restaurants in America as the chefs. Some have cited the physical setup of the kitchen as a factor in, that discriminates against women. Heavy pots are placed at awkward angles. The setup encourages competition. Anita, didn't you design the kitchen at Anissa differently than that of the traditional restaurant by having an L-shaped galley instead of a traditional hierarchical enforcing rectangle?
Well, actually, the confines of the space actually dictated what I could do there. There really was not much else I could do. But I do work the line from the inside. I work with the cooks on the inside so I can help plate and taste things rather than being on the outside just sort of calling tickets.
What about that argument that it requires a lot of physical strength in some cases?
Oh, it does. Yeah, and I would argue that pastry is, you know, a cooler environment. It's not, you know, you're not sitting there sweating in front of an oven the entire time.
Well, Joyce, you're rather petite.
Yes, I am.
How has that played out in working in a kitchen?
Well, I designed our kitchen at Square One, and anytime there's a super heavy pot, you ask for help. We had a very collaborative kitchen. No one was there to say, oh, look, let's make her lift the heaviest pot. We asked for help. People were cooperative. I think this thing has been overblown. I think in the old days in the European kitchens, yeah, there was a hazing for women. But I think we've gone past that. Certainly in most California kitchens, you do not see this. I don't know how it is to work in New York, but we don't have an old boys network here.
And people are not making sexual jokes and such anymore? That's something of the past.
Oh, that's got to be happening. That's certainly
that's happening.
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 But I'm sure the women are making
shocked.
It too. Yeah.
I think even women tell those jokes. I'm sorry.
Although it's certainly the case that women are underrepresented in executive and chef positions, they've also won significantly fewer honors. Last year, only three women won James Beard Awards. As a member of the Beard Awards Committee, Joyce, do you have any sense of why that is? You said that to some degree it depends on who's nominated, but why
That's
aren't
exactly
more women
right.
being nominated?
Because there perhaps aren't more women that are known for their work. I mean, now that there are more regions of the country represented in the Beard Awards, you will be hearing more about women in smaller towns and in other parts. Right now, this is a very New York-centric discussion, and New York is probably the toughest environment of all for women. In California, we've had so many women chefs, and you don't find quite that. Most of our women have already won Beard Awards. Alice, myself, what's her name? Judy Rogers. There are lots more that have been recognized here. And Tracy Desjardins, Nancy Oakes, all, you know, we haven't been hiding under a bush here. They've recognized us. It's just that, you know, there were so many more men in the business that that's what happens.
Well, in New York Magazine's food blog Grub Street, Helen Rosner says that it's a lack of hype, of media attention, not skills. That's one of the real contributing factors to why fewer women open restaurants and win awards. Have you had a problem getting a lot of PR, Anita?
No, not at all. I think on some level I've gotten a lot of press for being a woman, as evidenced
in
by
your
being
case,
here. Yeah.
Getting the press because you stand out as somebody
right,
who's
I'm
an
different.
Anomaly. But you also appeared on Top Chef and even took part in a franchise, Rickshaw Dumplings. That it was a kind of an investment activity many have characterized as being particularly male. Do you think that you can do all of those things because you've gotten good press?
I've actually gotten a little bit of flack for trying to go out and expand my, you know.
From whom?
From the press a little bit. I think from, you know, I think.
They see you as too ambitious?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen me as sort of ambitious or trying to go do that, you know, that typically male chef thing.
But they wouldn't say that about Mario Batali or Tom Colicchio, would they?
Right, well, I was trying to do the Mario Batali thing. Yeah.
Oh, shame
so,
on
okay,
you.
Yeah.
We have to take a little break, and we'll come back with Anita Lowe, Laura Shapiro, Joyce Goldstein. We're talking about women in restaurants, and hope you stay with us. we're back with Laura Shapiro, food journalist who's written for Gourmet and New York Magazine and written a number of books, including a book about Julia Child, another one called, the most recent one, Perfection Salad, Women and Cooking at the Turn of the Century. Also with us is Joyce Goldstein, chef, consultant to the restaurant industries, and a member of the James Beard Foundation Awards Committee, and Anita Lowe, who has had a number of restaurants. She's the executive chef at the popular New York restaurant Anissa. We have received some comments on our show page. One of the first female chefs at the Four Seasons and a starter of the Four Seasons Cooking School called in, and she says it was an intensely anti-female environment, and she feels as though not much has changed. You nodded your head, Laura, but this is radio.
In France, when I was working in France, that's what it was like. It was really, I had chefs that did not want to recognize me at all. Like, they did not want to sign a piece of paper that said I worked there. You know, it was difficult.
And you're talking about these big, high money expense account, corporate, big profile restaurants. Those are going to be the very ones where the barriers against women are worse. I remember in the 90s, it was still almost impossible for a woman to be hired to be a waitress at a place like that, much less get back into the kitchen. So all those barriers would just be much, much worse in a context like that.
But a listener also points out that most of the leading food writers in America are women, and you would think that they would be promoting women. Is it different in the West Coast, Joyce?
Well, I think the thing is, most women I know are responsible, and they're in their kitchens. They're not out cavorting. I mean, like, I'm always seeing pictures of Eric Repair and David Chang and Tom Colicchio hanging out and going out. You know, the posse is out, and they get press. The women are not doing that. They're in their kitchens or their home. And I think that they perhaps haven't learned how to get this kind of coverage. But we get written up. There are very few of those traditional European kitchens in California. We don't have that. So we've had a much friendlier environment. I mean, and a lot of women chefs have encouraged other women to go into the business because of this. It's not a macho environment. And in interviewing even Thomas Keller and Michael Chiarello, they are now running collaborative kitchens instead of having the same authority that starts them at the top. They're now consulting with their staff on recipes and execution, and they've learned that perhaps it's an easier way to run a kitchen. I accuse Thomas of becoming a feminist. God knows what's happening there.
Alexander Guarnaschelli, the executive chef at Butter, told you, Laura, in an article you wrote for Gourmet in 2008, that when women chefs get media attention, it's for bucking the norm. How about we just become part of the norm? Can we qualify for norm status?
Yes, and I think that is absolutely at the heart of it. It goes exactly to what Joyce has been saying about California in San Francisco and Berkeley and all that area. Women chefs are the norm, and all the cliches and the issues, can they lift that pot? Can they compete? Can they do it while they're having children? Somehow it works. Yeah, they have to work incredibly hard and make sacrifices, as you do in any very tough profession, but they are doing it here. Somehow in New York, all those kind of issues and cliches just stand up and put their claws out kind of extra hard.
Is it only New York and New Orleans? There is one famous woman chef, Susan Spicer, but pretty much everybody else is male.
It's a good question. I wish I knew more about New Orleans. It's a unique cooking and eating city.
Chicago's all male chefs, isn't it? We're picking on New York. I have to defend New York now.
I think New York might be a harder place to work. I believe that we've got such high rents here. Like in San Francisco, you can open a restaurant and have it only be open for five nights a week, and you can be closed by 10 o'clock at night. You know, in New York, we just can't afford to do that. And, you know, our cooks are working very hard.
If I see a restaurant close at 10 o'clock at night, I assume that it's not doing good business.
I wonder if it's typical American big cities versus San Francisco, which is not a typical American big cities, where women have always had a big role and all the sex roles have been in upheaval for generations.
And Alice Waters has been a superstar.
Has not only a superstar, but a superstar who has made a point of encouraging women into her kitchen. And not only a superstar, but she set the culinary agenda for decades to come with, you know, farm restaurant. When you do that and you bring women into the kitchen, you're really making a huge statement.
Charlotte Druckman, writing in the winter issue of Gastronomica, noted the difference in the way that food cooked by women is described by Food Network hosts and print journalists. She uses the example of adjectives used to describe food, a bolognese dish cooked by a man might be called in-your-face, rich, intense, bold. Cooked by a woman, the adjectives used are home, comforting, fair, prepared with love.
I once went to a demonstration that Gabrielle Hamilton, the chef at Prune, was giving. She was making, you know, sweetbreads, fish liver, marrow, all these things. She said, people describe this as comfort food. She said, because I'm making it. She said, it should be called hostile food.
I have a question here. Lydia Bastianich, you know, has her wonderful restaurant. Then, encouraged by her son Joseph, all these other restaurants have opened. Would she have opened all these other restaurants if Joseph had not encouraged her, you see? I think this multi-restaurant thing is a guy thing, too. It's like spraying on hydrants all over the place.
But it's also interesting that she did not bring in female executive chefs in any of those restaurants, as far as I know. If you go to Pittsburgh, it's all men in the kitchen, isn't it?
Now, there's a woman in one of her restaurants in Kansas City. There's a woman. So I think that rule can be broken.
One thing that I have heard from chefs when I have interviewed them on this subject is that they get many fewer applications from women when they advertise for a position. The applications from women are significantly fewer. Even the people who are out there eager to hire a woman often can't do it.
Even though cooking schools are graduating almost as many women as men.
Yeah, so I don't understand.
No, there are very fewer applications. Even at the end of the years of Square One, in the beginning when we opened, we had 1 million resumes from women. And in the last few years, the number had dropped. I think women just realize that it's not that it's a hostile environment, because certainly it was not that way here, but just that it's a very hard job if you want to have a family and have a relationship that survives. The hours are punishing. I mean, to be a chef, that's 80 hours a week. That's, you know, that's not easy.
But there are many restaurants with male chefs where married
wives.
Male chefs who have wives who are in the front of the restaurant. They're both working all those hours.
I know,
and they have kids
there
too.
At night, and she's home during the day.
Some of the women that I know who are big name chefs, they have house husbands. Mary Sue Milliken has a house husband. Elena Arzak has a house husband.
Yeah, I think that you're always going to find women who can manage it, who can manage the children and the demanding career, and you're going to find many women who choose not to. It's really it's a question of the numbers. Ruth Reichel said once that back in the 80s, when women were really trying to storm the barricades and having a lot of trouble, and that's when you had all the sexual harassment and all that stuff, she said back then we all thought there would be parity in 10 or 15 years because that's the way it was going to go with all the other professions. Well, guess what? It hasn't happened. And I think I wonder if high-end restaurant work is a place where we are not going to see gender parity. It's just not in the cards. It's that kind of profession.
My guests are Laura Shapiro, Joyce Goldstein, and Anita Lowe. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. We got a comment from Kenny in Brooklyn. He left this on our show page. He said, I used to work in one of the most popular restaurants in the city in the Union Square area. I don't know if that's a hint. As sous chef, it was my responsibility to run the kitchen every evening during a period of several months during my tenure there 5 years ago, where we had 100% female line and they performed at the highest level. All of these women were basically left the industrial kitchens, as have I. The situation reminds me a lot of what applicants to medical schools face years ago. There's no reason why we shouldn't expect to start seeing more women chefs in the future, and I look forward to it. But they've all left. I get it. This is because they wanted to have real lives? Is that what all of you are suggesting?
We've lost a lot of women to babies, certainly. A lot of women chefs to babies in New York City, actually.
How hard is it to attract investors for women where the chef is a woman?
Hard here. I mean, Nancy Oaks just opened a new restaurant with investors. Tracy Desjardins opened a new one with investors.
Those are women with track records, great track records. And I think when you have that, yeah, you're going to get the investors.
Well, Laura, you've written about two restaurants in New York that opened up not all that long ago. Gabrielle Hamilton's Prune, David Chang's Momofuku. Both, you noted, had small, uncomfortable spaces with inventive menus that got really good press. Yet Chang's dining empire has taken off with several offshoots. Hamilton's career trajectory hasn't been quite as meteoric. She's still just working in her kitchen.
It could be their personalities, or it could be the fact that when a guy does something interesting and inventive and very appealing, It just takes off. And when a woman does, it's not all that interesting.
Have you, Anita, have you cooked in any other country? So many American chefs go through the French or Italian.
Yeah, I worked in France.
Uh-huh. What was it like for you?
It was very, very, very difficult. It was very difficult that I mean, the hours are ridiculous. You go in at 8 o'clock in the morning. You work until 3. You take a half hour to an hour off, and then you go back and work service until 11:30 midnight, and that's, you know, 6-7 days a week.
So it's just as tough for a male or a female.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, there were very, very few women in kitchens there. And
Did it help that you were an American? So you weren't just, you know, some French woman who had come to work in the restaurant?
Maybe.
Sometimes people are given the exotic special treatment.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's very hard to say. But I certainly was treated, you know, I just definitely wasn't treated like an equal.
Joyce?
I haven't worked in any kitchens abroad. I have visited many kitchens while traveling. Interestingly, in Morocco, all the people in the kitchen were women, and the guy working in the front getting all the press was a guy. But there were women in the kitchen. In Italy, very often, there are women in the back and men out in the front and maybe one token chef getting the credit. I think there it's harder. It's not hard to get a job in the kitchen. They're perfectly happy to use your labor, but you don't get the recognition.
A caller says he knew of a restaurant owner who didn't want any women working in one of his pubs, so in order to get around discrimination laws, he opened another restaurant under the same corporate name and hired only women so as to appear as though he was engaging in balanced hiring practices.
There's always a way.
But you have to wonder why he didn't want women in the kitchen. I mean, or in the end, if somebody is turning out good food, isn't that all that really matters? Or is there something else going on?
Yes, that is all that really matters.
You would think. But, you know, if the end result was all that counted, we would see a very different gender balance in every profession that we have.
Because most of us grew up eating women's food, didn't we?
That's different.
It is different. And women have had no trouble succeeding in the, you know, the economy of sentiment, which is what home cooking is. But as soon as you move it into the economy of money, that's when the problems start.
Fiden has a book called Coco, 10 World Leading Masters Choose 100 Contemporary Chefs. Only one of the 10 masters is Alice Waters, a woman. Less than 10% of the contemporary chefs chosen were women. Does this indicate the situation or that male chefs don't necessarily recognize female chefs as their equals?
I don't know. At that level, that they're talking about a level of incredible fame and accomplishment. I don't know that this country has produced
the Joel Robuchons.
I don't know that we've produced
Alain Ducasse's.
A woman who's attracted that much press and attention. That has to do with press as much as anything else. And Alice has certainly run away with the press sweepstakes.
And she's made a fair number of enemies along the way, hasn't she? I remember seeing her on 60 Minutes, and one of the first questions she was asked by a woman reporter is, aren't you a bit of an elitist?
Well,
what was that? Because she's a woman?
I have no idea. I mean, that's no, I think it was because she was saying that we should all eat better food. There is one.
What a concept.
And Anne-Sophie Pic is the first female French chef to receive 3 Michelin stars in over 50 years. Do you think that that reflects any change at all? Or is it just that she's just such an extraordinary chef?
It's got to reflect some change. Something has to be happening in her kitchen or nearby. Somebody sees it. Whether or not she wants to be a role model, she is one. And something has to be happening. But France will be the last to go.
Uh-huh. And she's going to be the exception to the rule for a long time?
That's my guess. I don't, unfortunately, don't do enough traveling and eating in France to be able to say that. But it sure looks like that.
Well, do you have any sense, Anita, that people come into your restaurant because there's a woman in the kitchen, or in the end, doesn't it really come down to whether they like your food or not?
Oh, certainly. And then it comes down to, do they like the style that you're purveying?
But you don't think that it would be any different if you were a man?
I really don't believe that they're really, I think gender is a social construction. And I think everybody has preconceived notions about that. And I think it's just really important that we constantly question that.
Joyce, what happened to square one?
Well, when I hit my mid-60s, my knees sort of gave out. And I thought rather than watch it go down, I would just close it and have people miss it. But I have a funny story for you. I think a lot of people came to Square One, not because a woman ran it, but because it was a good restaurant. However, I was very active in the city and served on a number of boards and also on the Chamber of Commerce. And if the Chamber of Commerce were always asked to either do a report or report on something, they asked me to bring muffins. That told you a lot about the guys on the Chamber of Commerce. Yes, Joyce will bring muffins.
Thank you all so much. Joyce Goldstein, who used to have the restaurant Square One in San Francisco. She's now a consultant and a member of the James Beard Foundation Awards Committee. Laura Shapiro is a food journalist who's written for Gourmet and New York and written any number of books. Anita Lowe is the executive chef of the popular restaurant. Anissa, thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.